We're in Luke chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 1. We're going to start reading in verse number 26 this morning. Mary, blessed art thou among women. We're going to talk about Mary this morning and how God chose her to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, he did not have an earthly father. God was his father. Joseph was his, would have been his stepdad. But in Luke chapter number 1, in verse number 26, the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast into her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto an angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Look at what the Bible says in verse number 46, as Mary now is praising the Lord. And this is a song that she sang. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, for all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant of Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." The Bible says in verse number 56, "And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house with Elizabeth." Mary, blessed art thou among women. You know, it's a sad thing that some of the stories that are taught about Mary today. There are many teachings in religious circles. I don't want to call it Christendom, because if you put faith in Mary, you are not a Christian. Your faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was a lot of things, a lot of non-truths that were about. And they do not get these truths from the Bible. They get these truths from what they say is history and church stuff. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you know history can be, your version of history can be wrong? You know, it's funny how they reaccount all the things that are going on in the world today, and of course the stuff about Indians, you can't say the Braves or stuff like that, and the Indians or the Native Americans today are lifted up as like they never did anything wrong. Now let me ask you a question: did white people do wrong with Indians? Yeah, but we took land from Indians. But where do you think they got the land? They took it from other Indians. It's always, and so if you just focus on what, you can get history so messed up. Here's the truth, man. Can I go back and change anything? No, I can't change anything. And you know, it's just amazing where we are today. Well, there's many untruths about Mary that are brought about today. And in some religious cycle, when I was brought up, on some of these untruths. Some people teach that Mary was immaculately conceived. In other words, she did not have an earthly father. And can I tell you, there is no basis in the scripture for that. Mary was just a normal girl. Matter of fact, you can find out where she was from, her family, and all of those other things. She was not conceived like our Lord Jesus Christ was. They teach that she was forever a virgin. I witnessed to a lady one time who came from another country, and that country was very big in Roman Catholicism that teaches this. And of course, she thought that Mary was a virgin for the rest of her life. And I took her to the Bible, and I showed her where Jesus had brothers and sisters. He had four brothers. We don't know how many sisters he had, but he had several sisters. And I was telling her that, and her daughter was translating and reading from the Bible. I never will forget, she went, "Whoa!" And throughout the day when I was witnessing to her, there were several times she went, whoa! Because she found out there was a lot of things that she believed that was not in the Bible. And so she was not immaculately conceived. She did not remain a virgin her entire life. She had four sons, and we know the son's name, and she had several daughters. This one religion teaches that we have access to Jesus through her. Now, the Bible teaches that Christ is the mediator between man and God. But can I tell you, Mary is not the mediator between us and Jesus. We don't need a mediator. You know why we don't need a mediator? Because you and I can go straight to the throne of God. And he speaks for us and does all that. Listen, so they teach that she is the access to God. And they say, they use logic. Well, let me ask you a question. Because they picture Jesus as this real stern, unloving kind of guy. Does that sound like Jesus to you? And they say he's really stern and he's unloving. So if you want to get to him, the best way to get to him is have his mother go see him for you. And you know, that may make a good story, but it's just not true. I often wonder, you ever wonder about people in heaven? Does she know that's going on down here today? I've got a feeling she does, and I do not think that she is happy about that at all, you know? And so Jesus is our mediator to God, but Mary is not, and these are things that are just not true. And if people would just get to the place to where they would get back into their Bible and look what the Bible says about that. Listen, I believe that God knew that people were going to do this. Somebody say amen right there? Did it surprise God that one day they were going to elevate Mary? And you know what? It's not just Mary. They've elevated the apostles and all of these other people, and they're still making saints today, and they pray and they talk to the saints and all that stuff. And it's just wickedness and it's just wrong. Those people who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, those people who loved God, we're not trying to take credit to themselves, and they sure don't want us to give credit to them either. But God knew that people would begin to do this and begin to worship her instead of respect her. I have a great deal of respect for Mary. How many would like to see Mary when you get to heaven? Any of you? Man, I would like to talk to her. I hope she can. I mean, I'd like to. What did it? Just tell me what it felt like. Here you are, probably out doing some work or something and not bothering anybody, and your whole life is fixing to be turned upside down. And we do know there was some confusion and stuff, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But so I think he did everything in his power to show us that Mary was just a human being. God says that she was blessed and she was highly favored. If somebody's highly favored, does that mean they earned that position? If they earned it, they wouldn't have to be favored. Favored is you giving something to somebody who hasn't earned it. You have a special connection to them. You have an attachment to them. And you may have an attachment to them because of some things that they were doing, but she didn't earn that position. She was favored by God, because we know the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And that includes Mary, by the way. But he tried to show us that she wasn't perfect. And we'll talk about some of those scriptures in just a minute. There's no teaching in the Bible that she was immaculately conceived. The reason she was chosen of the mother of Jesus, there was a few reasons I think that she was highly favored. And we'll look at some of them. Look what the Bible says in verse number 30 of our text here today. Verse number 30 of our text here today. The Bible says this in verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, for thou art highly favored. And so we see that she was highly favored. The Bible says in verse number 28, verse number 28, the Lord is with thee and thou art highly favored. And in verse number 30, I think I kind of got mixed up there. No, they're on the same page. Thou hast found favor. So we see that she had favor, not that she was deserving, but she was favored. But she was a good girl, humanly speaking, if you would, that day. I think one of the second reasons she was chosen, look at what the Bible says in verse number 47 about what Mary says in verse number in verse number 47, she says, and my spirit hath rejoiced in who? God my Savior. Now here's an interesting story or thought. Do you ever just read a passage of scripture and it just intrigues you and you start thinking? You know, what was Mary living under in her day and age? She was living under the law. Have you ever thought about how confusing it would be to live under the law? Because here they were taught these things that they were supposed to do, and should they do them? Yeah, but it could be very confusing in your thinking, well, in order for me to go to heaven, I need to do these things. But let me ask you a question. Would these things get me to heaven? No, those things showed me, but somehow or another, Mary had an understanding. I don't know if it was in her consciousness or unconsciousness, she said that God, my Savior. She was trusting in God as her Savior. Boy, I hope today all of you are saved. If you're here today and you're not saved, can I tell you, you really need to be saved today. Listen, God did not use a lost person. Where she was from and all this stuff we'll talk about in a moment wasn't important, but it was important that she was saved. I believe another reason why God was able to use her was because she was obedient, although confused. She was obedient, although confused. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 38. The Bible says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed unto her. So in verse number 38, she says, okay, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. But look at what the Bible says in verse number 34. He's come and said that she was going to have a child. And Mary said unto the angel in verse number 34, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? He said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. And Mary said, what are you talking about? I'm going to have a baby? I can't have a baby because I've never been with a man. And listen, how many of you think that would be confusing? She knew how babies came about. She knew what happened with that. And here the angel comes to her and tells her something. And you know, I know some people that would have still been arguing with the devil. I mean, with the angel, trying to figure out how this was all going to happen. But you know what? God doesn't tell us everything that's going to happen, does he? There's been many times in my life that God has asked me to do something. I had no idea why God wanted me to do that. But as I just obeyed him, even though I was confused, as I followed his obedience and did what he wanted me to do, I can look back and see the hand of God in everything. And so though she was confused, she was also obedient. It is funny how when God came, he chose Mary, not a popular person, but not a rich person or a person of prestige. You know, people want to be thought highly of today, don't they? You ever know anybody that's a name dropper? Boy, if they ever meet somebody important, they're going to drop their name all the time. As a kid growing up, I used to tell everybody, my dad knew Hank Williams Jr. I love to tell stories about Hank. My dad knew Hank. My dad used to go hunting with Hank Williams Jr., so I would tell him the story. And we owned some property out there, and there was some swamp out there we duck hunted on. Before we got to it, we did this little town called Lovelessville. In Lovelessville, there wasn't much there, but there was a gas station, and there was a little restaurant on the side of it, so we ate a lot at that restaurant. I never got to go hunting with Hank Williams Jr., but my dad did. And so my dad stopped in there one day and you know, this girl, the teenage girl that was waiting on him kept asking my dad, that guy looks familiar. Who is he? And dad said, it's Hank Williams Jr. She said, no, Rock, seriously, who is it? Dad said, it's Hank Williams Jr. She said, no. And dad said he ate an unbelievable amount of food. And she said, Rock, that guy eats more than anybody I've seen in my life. Who is he? He said, it's Hank Williams Jr. She never could convince him it was Hank Williams Jr. And I love telling the story. Hank Williams Jr., name dropping. Yeah, I'm somebody because my dad knows Hank Williams Jr. Hank Williams Jr., by the way, was not a real religious man, by the way. My dad went to pick him up one morning. He was in his hotel room drunk. And dad said it was a cold night and been snowing and the door was open. And he said there was about that much snow inside the door. Dad went in there, and him and Billy Dyer was in bed, and he said, y'all going hunting? Said Hank Williams, lifted up his colors and said, Dadgum Rock, it's cold in here. That's my two Hank Williams. No, I got one more Hank Williams story. Dad was trying to get him to sing out in the duck blind, and all he would sing was, mmm, good, mmm, good. That's what Campbell's soups are, mmm, good. And so I told them stories as a kid growing up. I told them stories everywhere because it made me feel big because I knew somebody's, my dad knows Hank Williams Jr. And it's absolutely amazing how people will name drop and attach themselves to people. But you know what? You know what that is? That's just pride. wanting to lift yourself up. You know, another reason that I think that God chose her is look at what the Bible says in several verses here. I think she was a very humble person. Look at what he said. Look at what she said in verse number 48. The Bible says, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." A handmaiden, one of the lowliest of servants that there was. She just looked at herself as a little handmaiden. Look at how she exalts God. In verse number 49, she says, "For he that is mighty had done to me great things." It's him that's done this, not me. The Bible says in verse number 50, "His mercy is on them that fear him." In verse number 51 says, "He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." Verse number 52, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." Verse number 53, "He hath filled the hungry with good things and the rich he has sent away empty." I think one of the reasons he chose her was because she was a very humble, sweet-spirited young lady who wasn't interested in fame, wasn't interested in fortune, wasn't interested in the culture of the day. I believe she loved God and was trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we found that she found favor with the Lord, that she was saved, that she was obedient, though confused. She was humbled. But can I tell you what else this little lady had? She had some strength in her. She had some strength in her because God had to choose somebody who could have some strength. The Bible says, and look at what the Bible says in chapter number 2 and in verse number 34 and 35. After the baby was born, verse number 2, chapter number 2, verse number 34 and 35, as they were taking the Jesus in for the sacrifice, the Bible says, "And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against." I don't know that she completely understood that. But look at what Simon said. Said, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." He said, "Mary, a sword is going to pierce not through the flesh, not through the heart, but through your soul." In other words, Mary, let me tell you something. Because of this child, you're going to suffer a lot of things. And you know, she did suffer a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of people that are suffering, and people can choose to suffer with God or without God. You know, I did mention I have a great deal of respect, and my respect for Miss Pam has grown as I've seen her going through this ordeal with Scott. I knew that she loved the Lord. I knew, and, you know, and I'm not saying she's perfect, but her spirit of just trusting God as she went through this. And on Wednesday, when she was in tears and said, "If God wants to take him, I'll be okay with that." But when the doctor came in, she said, I think it was yesterday or Friday, and he said, "I can't believe how much better she's getting." And you know what she did? "I can believe it because there's a God in heaven." And she was giving God the glory and the honor for him coming out of that stuff. And so if we're going to live for God, it's going to take some strength to live for God. Listen, what was some of the piercing that would take place and the hurtful things? Well, let me ask you, when she ended up pregnant, do you think all the ladies in the town treated her real nice? Listen, you've got to realize we live in a totally different age today. We live in a day and age where an unwed pregnant mother, it means nothing today. Nobody looks down upon it. I preached the other night on fornication, and I told you how the world, it just looks at fornication as a sin that's okay, even in Christian circles today and stuff. The things that are being accepted in the name of religion. I was reading an article, I think yesterday I was reading an article about a church that had a picture up. They had a picture, of course, of Jesus in the center, but they had a picture up over here of two couples, and it was a lesbian couple and a homosexual couple, and they took it down. You know why they took it down? Because they were afraid. It showed lesbians and homosexuals, but they were afraid it would be offensive to transgender people. Seriously? The silly thing shouldn't have been up there in the first place. And to take it down, but listen, you know who I'd be afraid of offending? I'd be afraid of offending God. And so when we make a stand for the Lord, I mean, it's a crazy that even religious people have gotten there today. But back in Mary's day, if you were pregnant out of wedlock, that was a thing that was looked down upon very much. And today it's just so acceptable. I believe we need a happy balance between the two. We preach on the sin that it's wrong to get that way. But we love the sinner and we try to encourage them to do right after those things have happened if we can. But her rumor, her reputation was pierced as she tried to live for God. And we know she was a godly young lady because God chose her. But I bet she heard some hurtful and horrible things. You know, there are sometimes a lady may be raped and get pregnant. And if that happens, you know, there was a time when that happened, people would say bad things and they didn't know what had happened or what had taken place. There's been many people that have been hurt that way. So Mary knew what it was to be pierced for her personal reputation. And guess what she knew? She knew she'd never done anything wrong. You know, it's one thing to get accused when you've done something wrong, isn't it? I tell people all the time when they accuse me of something, if it's not true, I said, you know, I can give you something true if you want it. If that's what you want to do is accuse me, at least accuse me of something that I've done. But it really, really hurts when you're accused of something that you have not done about that. There's been a couple of times in my life fairly recently that somebody made accusations against me. And I always ask the same question. If you accuse me and we talk about it face to face, my first question is, do you have any evidence of that? And if they say no, I just feel like you're doing that. That's a horrible, I mean, why would you say something if it was just a feeling that you had? It just, you know, but here's Mary who has not done anything wrong. Matter of fact, she's done most things right. Listen, how do you think she felt when Jesus left home? I left home in 1978 or 79 and joined the military. Men are a little bit different than women, but I joined the military and I remember we were going to the bus station in Paducah, Kentucky, because I was headed to St. Louis to go through the ASVAB station and go in the military. And the bus was getting close, and I was walking back to the bus station with my mom and was talking to my mom. And the next thing I know, there was a pause because I was expecting an answer. And I looked over, and my mom wasn't walking beside me anymore. And I turned around and looked, and she was walking the other way. And I said, Mom, what's wrong? And I run up and tears was just flowing down her face. I said, Mom, what's wrong? She said, you're leaving. You know? And then it got worse because my first assignment was Okinawa, Japan. My dad said he liked to kill. He said, I almost come over to Okinawa and killed you. He said, your mama didn't sleep for 18 months. The whole time you was in Okinawa, Japan. You know? And moms, you know, they have that attachment. But how do you think she felt when Jesus left to go on that ministry? Listen, Jesus. The last mention we have of Jesus as a young person was when they had gone back for the Passover, and they left. The whole family was left and going home, and they assumed that Jesus was with other family members, and they found out they had left him. And Mary and Joseph went back, and Mary was kind of stern and says, "What are you doing? Why are you worrying me and your father?" She was a stepfather. Why are you doing that? And Jesus said, "What? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And so we don't ever hear of Jesus again. Somewhere between the time Jesus was 12 and the time that Jesus was 32, 33, somewhere through there, here's what we assume, and we're going to make some assumptions. We assume that somewhere between that period of time, Joseph died. And guess who took over when the dad died? The firstborn son, which was who? So Jesus probably took over. This, we're just going with the custom of the day. Jesus probably took over the carpentry business, and he took care of his mother and watched over her and made sure that she had everything she needed. But then one day, he went out to the River Jordan where John the Baptist was, and he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, and it was time for him to go to the ministry. You know what we don't have recorded in Scripture? We don't have recorded in Scripture that Jesus ever went home again. He may have, but it is not recorded in Scripture. And you know, it's pretty tough. Mom was at that first 18 months was hard for Mom, and then I came back to the States. I got married and went to Florida, met Deborah, got married, and then not long after that, we went to Okinawa, Japan. For 3 years, we went to Okinawa, Japan. And because of some circumstances outside of my control, I never came back to the United States for 3 years. Dad said, that was hard on your mama. Don't do that no more. And really, I didn't do it on purpose. We planned on coming back. But Deborah had an emergency. We had to send her back without me. and then the what it cost for that was a lot. But piercing, she knew what it was to be pierced, to have her child head out and leave her. Listen, how do you think she felt when her children would not recognize Jesus as Messiah? And you know, the entire time Jesus was alive, that not one of his brothers recognized him as Messiah. Matter of fact, I got a feeling. Now, this is my opinion. I always try to make sure of that. Matter of fact, I got an opinion. They probably didn't like Jesus. How many of you would have liked to have grown up with Jesus as your brother? I mean, he did everything right. I had a sister that was fairly close. Goody two-shoe sister that did everything she was supposed to do and never got in any trouble. I remember one time my whole life. In my whole life, I remember one time my sister got in trouble. You know? That's tough. And I was kidding. She was nowhere near Jesus. But it was after he died and was resurrected that some of those men, and you know, it's tough when your children aren't getting along, when there's fussing and there's fighting going on. So she had to do that. And then probably, can you imagine anything harder? Where was she? Where was she when Jesus was crucified? She was standing at the foot of that cross. The only of the disciples we know there was John. There were some other ladies there. All of his other disciples had fled and forsook him, but she stood at the foot of that cross. Just a few years ago, I read a statement, probably the one person who could have stopped the crucifixion. The one person other than Jesus Christ who could have stopped the crucifixion. You know who that was? His mother. Because why did they crucify him? They crucified him because he said he was God. And how did they say he was God? He said he was the Son of God. And in that culture, a son, he was God. All she had to do was sit up and say, you know, it's all been a lie. I was not a virgin. I can tell you who his father was. She could have even said, me and Joseph snuck off and we had relations and stuff. But she stood at that cross knowing that that was God's will for his life and watched him die. I have been with some parents who've had to watch their children die. And you know, there's an old saying, a parent should not have to bury their child. And it's a tough thing to go through. I did not have a child. I mean, it was alive. Deborah had a miscarriage, and I've shared that with you. One of the hardest things in my life that I ever went through was accepting the death of a child that me and our Julie had prayed for. I wished you could have seen Julie. Walked around, she just knew God was going to give a baby because she was praying for a baby brother or a baby sister. She didn't care. She just wanted a baby. And man, she was so happy when she got sad, when Deborah was pregnant and going to have a child. And one of the hardest things in my life was the day that I sat down with that little four-year-old girl and tried to explain to her why God had decided that baby needed to be in heaven and not with us that day. And so she was strong. She was able to go through some things in her life. Now, that's my introduction, and don't get worried. My introduction was bigger than my message, okay? I just wanted you to know that about why she was picked. And she was highly favored. And I want to give you just three quick points this morning, and we'll close. Let's pray. Father, as we think about this little handmaiden, Mary, and the humble, sweet spirit she had, her obedience to you, and, Lord, the strength that she would have had in the Lord to live for you even through tough times, I pray that we today would compare ourselves to Miss Little Mary today and ask ourselves this question: do we have the strength we need to have? You said that your strength was available. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And Lord, I can trust in your strength. You said that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You said there's no temptation taking us but such as common to man. Lord, we can live a successful Christian life down here if we'll lean on you and trust you just like Mary did. And Lord, because of her obedience, because she loved you and because she was saved and she was humble, you were able to pick her out of all the women on the earth. Listen, out of all the women that ever would be born, you said you brought her in the fullness of time. And I'm sure part of that had to do with that little handmaid, Mary. Dear God, please help us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, just three quick things today. What she couldn't give. Did you ever think about what Mary couldn't give Jesus? You know, she couldn't give him a big name, could she? You know, we have some names in this country. If you hear those names, you automatically assume it's something. If I say Kennedy, you assume they're rich and they're wealthy. You know, and she couldn't give him wealth. She didn't have wealth to give him. You know, when they went to make an offering unto the Lord, they gave two pigeons. Two pigeons was what poor people gave. I'm not going to prove that to you today, but when God told them what to offer when a baby was born, and he said, if they can't afford that, if they're poor, then let them give two pigeons. And that was the offering. And so we know that Joseph and Mary was a very, very poor home. You know, if he'd have wanted to, he could have brought them into, he could have had Jesus born into a place of wealth. But that's not what he wanted. He brought them into a very poor home of that day. You know what she couldn't offer him? She couldn't offer him the cultures of the day. People put a lot of impact in things today. She couldn't send him to the finest schools. Let me ask you a question. Were there fine schools in that day? Yeah, there was good schools in that day. There was. There was good schools. But guess who went to schools? The wealthy, cultured people of the day. It always amazes me how our politicians are big on the public education and all their kids go where? All their kids go to private schools, but your kids are going to go to the public institution. And I'm not picking on public institutions. Some are good and some are bad. But they send them to a school to where they're going to get all of these things. And they did not have a chance at education. Listen, the person writing this story this day was Luke. What was Luke? He was a doctor. Did he have any education? The man writing this story had education. I'm not here today to tell you education is a horrible thing. But I'm telling you, when Jesus was born, she could not offer him all of the major cultural things of the day. Listen, he didn't get to travel. Most of us travel more in a day sometimes than he traveled his entire life. Brother Charles and Miss Diane are going to leave and travel 12 hours here in a few days, drive 12 hours, and in that 12 hours, they will surpass what Jesus traveled his entire life by many hundreds of miles. He didn't get to travel all over the world and see all of the great things of the world. But listen, is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But does that make you better than somebody else? Does that make you more worthy than somebody else? No, it doesn't. She didn't get to introduce him to where he could meet the elites and the ruling class of people. It is funny. Even in the military, you have the politics of the military and stuff. And we had a big general coming to our base one time, and there were certain people going to be selected to eat lunch with the general. And somehow or another, I got selected. Still never have figured that out. And I really didn't want to go, but I had to go, found out I had to go. But you know what they made me wear? I had to put on my dress blues. I don't know about you, I'm just glad when I go to talk to Jesus, I don't have to put on my dress blues. I can talk to Jesus, and then they served a lunch and they had a Reuben sandwich. Anybody know what a Reuben sandwich is? Did you like a Reuben sandwich? Look, I don't know where sauerkraut come from. I think it's from German. Is it from Germany? Well, let me tell you, that's the worst stuff on the face of the earth. I'm telling you, that stuff is horrible. I couldn't even eat. You say, why? I wasn't hungry enough. You know, and had, you know, but they didn't get a chance to meet generals, and they didn't get a chance to meet Hank Williams Jr., and they didn't get a chance to meet all the elite people of the world. You know who Jesus dealt with day in, day out, day in? Just a common, everyday folk. You know, I where he was born at was a city probably a lot like Flora, Illinois. You know, like I said, hey, for the next couple of days, we got a fake ice skating rink to go to. But she couldn't offer him some things. But she could give him the important things of life. And let's remember, what's really important? You know what? She could give him a womb to grow and become flesh, God's man. There's a song out called The Wonders of Wonders. You ought to go to YouTube and just put in Wonders of Wonders and listen to that song where it talks about he created the womb that gave him birth. It's just an amazing thought to me that this little Mary was able to keep God in her womb that he had created that day. In that song it says, you know, I mean, he was the one who created the thunder and the lightning and everything that was. And yet he allowed himself to be born of a woman, a virgin, to grow in a womb. And she was able to nurture him and care for him in that womb. Listen, she was able, what else did she have she could give him? She could give him warm milk to nourish him until he could be weaned. It's an uncomfortable thing for us to talk about so much in the world today. It's really strange. But, you know, back in that day, they didn't have a lot of, you couldn't go down to Walmart and get a what? Can of formula. You nursed your babies. If something happened, you couldn't nurse your baby because of a defect, you know what you did? You went and got a goat. And you milked the goat and gave it to them and stuff. But she gave him that. I remember, I grew up in the 60s, and during the 60s, that wasn't a thing. You know, if women had to nurse, they went somewhere private and nursed, you know. I remember being on an airplane when I went in the military. First airplane I ever got onto. I was terrified to be on an airplane. They set me next to this woman. I was flying down to Texas, and she had a little baby on her lap, and all of a sudden, guess what the baby decided? It was time to eat. I about left that airplane. I felt heat. I'm like, oh, no, she's doing this on an airplane. Now, today I understand it is a completely natural. You know, it's just a shame that we've gotten away from that. You know why we've gotten away from it? Because women have to be successful today. And I'm not against success. Don't get me wrong. Just let me tell you. But let me tell you something. So they come out, you give them a bottle so that you can go back to work. You know what Jesus had? He had a mother that was there to offer him the warm milk and to hold him and to nurture him. And I just, man, wouldn't you like to read Mary's mind of what she thought over all of those times as she was nurturing and nursing the Lord Jesus Christ in her life? She couldn't give him everything, but she could give him a womb. You know what else she could give him? She could give him a home to grow up in. Many of our rich people of the day, I mean, many that have a lot of money, they end up sending their kids off to school and all these other things, but he had a home to grow up in. Listen, I thank God for the home that I grew up in. My mom and dad ended up pretty well. They're very comfortable, I should say that. Very comfortable in their lifestyle today, but growing up, we lived in some homes that at the time, I'm just amazed that we lived in them. I remember the first home I remember was in on Husband Road in Paducah, Kentucky, and to me it seemed like a mansion. Man, it just seemed. I mean, I remember as a kid growing up thinking this place is huge. And then I grew up, went off, and when I got out of the military, or when I ended up back home before I came here, I think when I ended up back before I came here, and I was doing carpentry work and stuff. My uncle, I found out, had bought that house and was renting it, and it needed a roof on it. Umpteen years later, I go back and put a roof on this house, and you know what that house was? It was a matchbox. That house was unbelievably small. But my mom and dad loved us and made us, we felt like we lived in a mansion. It wasn't even hallways in it. You went from one room to the next room. If you wanted to go to the kitchen or the bathroom, you had to walk through my room. You know, she could. But you know what? I thank God for that. We moved back. I don't remember this. Mom and Dad tell the story. My dad used to live over in Alton, Illinois, and we moved back to Paducah, Kentucky. And Mom and Dad didn't have a job, and we moved into a home that had been converted from a. It was a chicken coop that had been converted to a house. I used to go in up until several years, I used to go in and go over there and look and say, I can't believe we lived in that. And now my mom and dad live in a nice three-bedroom, split-level brick home, two baths, a living room, a den, big kitchen, reloading room, a detached two-car garage, a carport on several acres of land out there. Now that was, man, can you imagine if I'd have been a kid and lived in that? But she couldn't give him much. But I feel like they had a home where Jesus was loved and brought up in that day. Listen, what could she give him? She could give him the love of a mother. There's nothing like the love of a dad's good too, don't get me wrong. But seriously, when somebody makes fun of you, who do you run to? Here, let me show you the difference. Somebody's made fun of you. When I went into the military, I think I've told you I had to gain weight to go in the military. the recruiter said, well, you passed all your scores, but you're 3 pounds underweight. You can't go in until you gain 3 pounds. I was fairly close to the height I am now and weighed 120 pounds. Just for the record, I weigh about 215 now, way too fat, you know. 215 now, 120 pounds. Can you picture 120 pounds on this frame? You know, I was skinny, and people made fun of me for being skinny, you know. And you go to your dad, and you know what your dad would tell you? Tough it up, son. It's life. Get over it. But you know your mom would give you a hug, and she'd tell you, you know, they may think you're skinny. I think you're just right. You're about the best looking guy I ever saw in my life. That's what mamas do. You go to your dad, you know, he's just, you know, but you go to your mom, and that's not always the case. I understand that, but you go, when you leave your mom, man, you're high stepping. Because listen, they can make fun of me, but there's somebody in this world I'm special to. And I'm special to my mom. And I just think they had a wonderful home, and they couldn't have given them much, but they gave them this wonderful home. Listen, his mother was there even when he was rejected by his brothers and his sisters and the things that happened to him. So, well, number one, we saw what she could give. Number one, we saw what she couldn't give. Number two, we saw what she could give. And number three, let's look at what she could do. Although he left to do his father's business and never returned home, you know what she chose to do? She chose to support her son who was doing what's right. I am so thankful for a mom and dad who supported me. Listen, being in the ministry has been hard for me. Has been hard for my mom. My mom is. I think probably the person in here who knows more as much about as me is Kathy. You know, my mom worries about me all the time. I bet your mom was a nervous wreck when Tony was laid off, wasn't she? How are you going to live? How are you going to do this? You say, how do you know that? Brenda and my mom are just like this. You know, I call her little Donna when she's not listening. My mom worried, you know, son, you can't get out of the military. You're just a few years away from retirement. You're going to, you know, my mom puts everything in the physical realm. And so here her son is after 8 years in the military, or 12 years, excuse me, 12 years in the military, retiring and going into what? Well, I don't know for sure. Going to go to Bible college. Where are you going to go to Bible college? I don't know. Where are you going to work? I don't know. Where are you going to live? I don't know. That was hard on my mom. Very hard on my mom. And being in the ministry has been tough on my mom, who puts the emphasis in that. But can I tell you what she's done? She has supported me every step of the way. She has been there and helped us. And look, we don't go to my mom and dad and tell them if we have a physical need or something. We've never, ever done that. But there's been many times we had physical needs and my mom could like almost sense it. And she would send stuff. My whole family on my mom's side has been that way. And so though she couldn't, he was never going to return home, she chose to support him and she chose to follow him. Let me just show you this in three different times in his ministry. At the beginning of his ministry, after he was baptized, his very first miracle, guess who was there? His mother was there. And she found out that they ran out of wine. Now, that's not alcoholic wine. I'm not going to go into that today. But she found out they was without wine. And she went and told Jesus, said, Jesus, they're without wine. He says, what would you have me to do? She went back and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. She knew he could take care of it. I don't know, but she knew he could. She supported him, and he said, hey, fill them firkins with water. Filled them with water. He said, now draw it out and take it to the governor of the feast. Take it to the highest ranking person here. And when he went to drink of that firkin that had water in it, what did he drink? The best wine. He said, you've saved the best until last. And so there at the beginning of his ministry, she was right there with him. At the end of his crucifixion, as we talked about earlier, when Jesus was being crucified, where was she standing? She was standing right there at the foot of the cross, watching her. Listen, I got to be honest with you. Can you imagine? I'd be like my mom. My mom couldn't even walk with me to the bus station, put me on a bus and see me off. Can you just picture sitting at a cross and watching that happen to your son? But she was right there the whole way. She was there at the beginning. She was there when he was crucified. Over in Acts chapter number 1, The Bible says this, and when they were come into the upper in the upper room where abode both Philip and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Right after the resurrection, she's still supporting. She's still there for him. She was in the upper room with it. Mary was faithful to the very end. Jesus showed his love for his mother when he was on the cross, and he looked down at John, and he said, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." And the Bible says that John took her into his house and took care of her. Listen, Jesus showed his love for his mother by making sure that she would be taken care of for her entire life. God help us today as we look at this little Hebrew maiden. You know what we can learn from Mary? Number one, we need to learn to trust God as our Savior. I hope that every one of you here today know that you're saved. I hope you know if you died, you're going to heaven. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. The Bible says that Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Everything that he did for you so that you could trust him as your Savior. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to do that. Another thing we can learn from this humble little Hebrew maid is we need to be faithful to the end. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I do think most of us in this room today will be alive when Jesus comes back. I believe most of us who are saved are going out according to the rapture. And we need to be faithful to the very end. We don't want to be caught up in the falling away that's talked about in the book of Thessalonica. And then we need to realize this. If you're going to be faithful to the road, like we learned from Mary's life, we need to realize that if we follow Christ, we need to be prepared to have our hearts pierced. People who you minister to and people who you love and people who you try to live for the Lord will pierce your heart and will hurt you. But that's okay because they pierced him. It's okay because we found from Mary's life, who was Jesus' mother, that she had to have some piercing, and you and I will have some piercing to our hearts today. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. She was, "Blessed art thou among women." And today, I just want to be a lot like Mary in my life with some things that I've done. Listen, if God has spoken your heart today, I hope that you'd be prepared to deal with him. If you're here today and you're not saved, we have someone who'll take the Bible and share with you how you can be saved, answer the questions that you have. But let me ask you, how you been with your faithfulness? I'm with Brother Charles, man. Sometimes it's a struggle, isn't it? As he was teaching in Sunday school this morning, we saw in David's life, sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. But I'm so glad. I'm sure Mary got discouraged when she was at the foot of the cross that day. I'm sure she got discouraged when Jesus walked away. But we need to overcome discouragement in our life. And then we need to be prepared for the piercings. Would you stand today with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking about? Miss Sydney's going to come. We'll have a brief time of invitation. Let me ask you this morning, is there someone here today to say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but there's been some piercings of my heart. There's been some things go on in my life that has caused me some deep pain. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand?" God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hands everywhere. Listen, I can't fix your heart, but Jesus can. So let me encourage you this morning just to come and share that painful event with Jesus and tell him, "Lord, I don't know why you brought this into my life, but dear God, I want to turn it over to you." How many would David say, "Preacher, been a little bit discouraged and struggling a little bit with that faithfulness. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand today? A little bit discouraged and not as faithful as I should be. Would you pray for me?" God bless you. See your hands. Let me give you the invitation to come. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking about, let me ask the question very quickly. Is there anyone here today who would say, "Preacher, I don't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven. I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? I won't call your name. I won't make fun of you. I won't do any of that. I just like to pray for you in a generic way because God knows your heart. Preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved or not." Is there anyone like that? No hands raised, so I'm assuming you're saved. But listen, if you're not saved and you want to talk to someone, we have a man for men and women for women who'd be willing to share the Bible. Father, we do pray that you'd bless this invitation. You saw the hands of the people, Lord, who responded to the questions that were asked today. I pray now that those folks would be willing to come and talk to you this morning seriously about what's going on in their life. And dear God, I pray that you would increase our faith in this dark day to live for you. And Lord, help us as we look to Mary for an example of all the things that she did. Watch over us. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Sydney.